to come before you. We thank you for the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that you are giving to us. We thank you for the anointing of your spirit. We thank you for your plan and purpose for our lives. I will pray that you might open our hearts, that the entrance of your word will bring light and life. We pray that the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, might be shed abroad in our hearts even today. We pray you might open our ears to hear your words even today. Blessed be your name, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're very happy to be here today to fellowship with you. As we have been introduced, my wife and I have come all the way from Nigeria to Hungary. We have been praying to do so since 1996 to come. And you know about Brother Ike and the wife who have also come from London in this trip. And Brother Martin has been our host, bringing us all the way from Prague. We actually came through London. We had the weekend conference last week in Luton. We had the conference in Luton in England last week. And from here we're going to Munich in Germany next weekend. And we've had a burden to share with the people of God. We have had a burden from God to share a very urgent message with the people of God. We believe that God is speaking to his people at this time. Because we believe we have come to the end of time. Events all over the world show very clearly that we are living in very special times. And also we see that in this time God is speaking very, very clearly to his people. I would like to read three scriptures share with us today. Three scriptures, three Bible verses. The first one is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You want to read this one? 2 Corinthians 3. Reading from verse 13. I think it would be good if you read 13 to the end. Chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Yeah. Verse 13. Yes, all through the end. Thank you. The second scripture is from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. Okay, the last one is Matthew chapter 1. I believe that these three scriptures bring a message to our hearts. Matthew speaks of the purpose why Jesus came. It says he came to save his people from their sins. The Hebrew word translated as save means total salvation, sozo, total salvation. The plan of God for you and for me is comprehensive. It brings total salvation to the total man. In Genesis, the scriptures give us an idea of who you are. And even though in our contemporary experience, it may not, we sometimes, you know, forget who we are. But the book of Genesis tells us that man has three dimensions. There are three parts to man. And the anointing of Jesus Christ to bring salvation is to deliver man in all his dimensions. This will bring total salvation to man. The Bible says when God was creating Adam, he took the dust of the earth. And he breathed into the man. There was a breath that came from God. And man or Adam became a living soul. So when the Bible speaks of salvation, it is speaking of God's plan to redeem man in his body, in his soul, and in his spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. So, as a human being, you have three dimensions. There are three parts to you. In medicine, we know that very well. in medicine, medical practice, we know that very well. That there are three natures in man. And Jesus, in speaking in Luke, says that he has been anointed by the Spirit of God. To bring deliverance to the captives. When you read the scriptures, you have to open your mind, because there are dimensions to the scriptures. The soul of man is a captive in his body. And the soul of man needs to be delivered from the bondage of the body. And when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is speaking of this deliverance, this captivity. Paul is saying that there is a blindness of the mind, there is a covering over the mind of man. And Paul is saying that when we come to God, we are actually blind spiritually. He's saying that there is a veil over the mind, there is a covering over the mind. And Paul is saying there is a good news for you. Because in Christ, the veil can be taken away. So, salvation is not a concept, it's not an idea in the mind. It is an experience that you have to go through. It is an experience you have to go through. It is something you have to experience. The Bible also tells us very clearly that there are steps to receive this salvation. This total deliverance. And when we look at the book of Hebrews, we see that there are two plans that God made. Because right from the beginning, God had a plan to deliver man. Because we see in the book of Genesis that when Adam sinned, the scripture says that the day you die, you will continue to die. Because the Hebrew word used for death in that context says, in the day you disobey me and eat of this fruit, in dying you will continue to die. So we see that there was a corruption that came into the spirit and the soul of Adam and his body. Death began to walk in his members. Death began to walk in his members. Death began to operate within him. So we see the body of man falling. we see the mind of man becoming corrupted. And we see destruction and ruin all over the world because of the depravity of the heart of man. And God saw all this in the heart of Adam and made a plan. The first plan was the first covenant, the old covenant. And God set up the tabernacle of Moses. And he made a provision for a blood sacrifice. And we also see that there is a new covenant also. There's a new testament. And we see that in the book of Hebrews, where he said, I will make a new covenant. I will bring my law into the heart of man. So we see that salvation must address the total man. We see that the blood of Jesus must be applied upon the heart. It must be applied upon the emotions and the desire and the will. The emotions, the desire, the will, and the mind. Because the Bible tells us that the soul of man has different natures. And all these natures in man must be changed, must be saved. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth shall die. And it says he has given the blood to make an atonement for the soul. So the salvation of the soul is not just forgiveness of sin. The veil over the heart of man has to be addressed, has to be removed. And the Bible says that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. That when we bring our hearts to Christ, the veil will be taken away. And it is speaking of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Speaking of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It means we have to come to Christ. We have to bring our hearts to Christ. And we have to open our hearts up to Him. So that He can put His law in the inward parts of our being. And He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to open the blind eyes. Uh, In the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the heart of those who, of man, blinded the heart of man. So man cannot know God except by revelation. I cannot know God by my understanding. It has to be by a relationship. And we see that in 2 Corinthians, there is a call for us to move forward in God. So that we can experience the total salvation that He has for us. So there is a total promise for every man of God. That our spirit, our soul, and our body will know true salvation. And we see in the book of Corinthians chapter 15 that it speaks about resurrection. Paul says that a time is coming when there will be a change. Paul is saying there will be a time when there is going to be a change from the first Adam to the nature of the second Adam. I want you to know that there are two men on earth today. There are two generations of men on the earth today. The first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam is the fallen man. The man that is condemned to death. The man whose mind is covered by darkness. The man whose spirit is cut off from God. The spirit in man is given to him to draw him to God. When the man dies, the spirit goes back to God. The spirit has a mission. The spirit is like a transmitter that enables the soul to hear the voice of God. That enables you to respond to God. The Bible says, I will not always strive with man. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man. The Spirit of God has a mission in you. And that is to pull you to the Father. It has a set time to do that. When the time runs out, it goes back to the Father. The body goes back to the earth. And the soul goes to God for judgment. So the principal agent that needs to be changed is the soul. Therefore, you must ensure that the seed of Christ that has been planted in your soul brings forth a full harvest of Christ. The Bible says that Christ is the seed that is planted in the heart of man. Remember the parable of the sower? It says, the parable of the sower, the man who went forth to sow the seed. The soil is your soul that receives the seed of Christ. And God expects a harvest of Christ from your soul. And it is God's plan to save the soul. The soul cannot be changed, cannot be saved, if the nature of the soul is not changed. The Bible says the soul is not just to be forgiven of sin, but has to be saved from a life of sin. So how then can the soul be changed? How then can the soul be converted? The soul of man has four natures. And Ezekiel had a vision of the soul of man. He saw four living creatures. Isaiah also had that vision. John also had that vision. So it is a reality that you have to be aware of. That there is a nature in you that has to be saved. It's not just enough to say you are born again. It's not just to say your sins have been forgiven. The soul must be converted. Now, it's even more interesting because the Bible says something else about your soul. Jesus said that the soul is the temple of God. Because he went up to the temple and he said, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days I will build it up. And the Bible said he was speaking of the temple of his body. That was an earthquake statement. It was a statement that caused an earthquake in Jerusalem. It was a profound statement. Because up until this time, men thought that the temple was a physical building. I want you to know that Jesus does not agree with that. The scripture says that God does not dwell in temples made with hands. I can see you are building a very fantastic building here. It's very beautiful, very convenient. But I'm sure you understand that you are the temple of God. This is just to make you comfortable from the environment, from snow, from cold, and so on. The There is something more exciting. There is something more exciting. There is something more real. There is something more worth living for. And as we see, something worth dying for. And Paul said, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? If you are the temple of God, if your soul is the temple of God, do you not think that you need to prepare it? Do you not think that you need to make it to be beautiful? You need to decorate it. You need to beautify it. And you need to make it as holy and as honorable to God as possible. So John says, he that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as Christ is pure. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of vision. The church is in crisis today because we have lost the vision. The church in Western Europe today is in crisis because we've lost the vision. The church has lost its soul. We have lost our identity. What is that identity? And that identity is who you are. You cannot be anything different from what God made you to be. The Bible says that you are Zion. You are Zion, the city of God. Psalm 48 says that Mount Zion is the city of the living God. And Hebrew says that we have come to Mount Zion. Zion is not in Jerusalem, even though there is a physical Zion. The Galatians was speaking of the heavenly Jerusalem, which is a people that God is creating in the world today. I want you to know there is a remnant. A remnant. There's a small group of people who know who they are, who have the identity of Christ, who have not forgotten who they are. They can see from the scripture that man was created to be the dwelling place of God. And because they have this vision, there's a cry in their heart for God. I want to begin to close by reading from the book of Psalms. Psalm 42. Okay. Verse 1 and 2. It says, as the heart pants after the water brooks, so panted my heart after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God. There is a desire in man. There is an emotion in man. There is a mind in man. And there is a will in man. These four natures were put in the soul of man for the purpose of God. God made you who you are for His own glory. And the Garden of Eden was speaking, it speaks about a fellowship. God created you that He might have fellowship with you. The Bible says that He will come down to Eden and He will have fellowship with Adam. When Adam sinned, he was taken away out of the garden. I want you to know that men are going back to that garden now. There is a group of people who are hungering after God. They have a desire for God. And they are bringing themselves to Christ. The Bible says that at the last trumpet, we shall be changed. Genesis says there was a veil that separates man from that garden. And that's the veil over the mind of man. But the Bible said that when we shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be broken. I want you to know that you can have that experience. The Christian experience is not supposed to be a life of condemnation, a life of separation from God. It is a call to have fellowship with God. That your soul will be like that Garden of Eden. Where God can come in to have fellowship with you. In fact, He says that you are to be the bride of Christ. You are supposed to be married to Christ. Married to Christ. There is no way you are going to be married to Christ if you do not have the same nature as Christ. So you can see all that God is putting on the table for you. He wants you to be His temple. He's calling you to be a son. And above all, He's calling you to be a bride. There is excitement in heaven. I want you to know. There is an excitement. Are you excited for God? Do you see something great ahead of you? Do you have a purpose in life? Is your purpose to eat and drink and then tomorrow you die? Or are you looking forward to come into a great experience? And by the way, we are speaking about eternity. Eternity is a person. Yes. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is not a date in the future, it is a person. Eternity is a person also. Yes, it's a person. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. So he is the God that is, that was, and is to come. He is eternity. So when you receive Jesus, you have come into resurrection. You come into eternity. You go beyond time into timelessness. So the experience you are having in Christ is going to be an eternal experience. When you have Christ, you have everything. He says, to him that overcometh, I will give everything. It is all or nothing. Are you willing to go for it? Jesus said there was a man who found a pearl of great price. He went and sold everything he had. And he went and bought the field. Because he found a value. Have you found a value? Or are you just going through motion, through religion? I want you to know that what you are being called to, it's a great price that you are being offered. And we thank God for the few moments we have spent to reflect on the promise of Christ, on the promise of resurrection, on the promise of true deliverance, a call to be a partaker of Christ, this new man that is rising on the earth. And the Bible says he will bring many sons unto glory. He came that he might bring many sons with him unto glory. And as we pray, you can ask God to do something in your life to bring you into that experience. Paul was praying that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. You need to pray that God will open your eyes to see. That you might see the riches of Christ. The riches of your inheritance. Amen. Amen.